Well, amen. Thank you, Travis and Kelsey. That was a blessing. And sometimes, well, I haven't preached that often, but I don't know how to follow that up. I mean, that was a blessing. And Miss Dory, that special, the offering, man, it just kind of, you know, when you just kind of find yourself in the song and then they finish the song and you're like, where are we? And then it's just good. It's been good so far. Well, I just want to say thank you to Pastor once again for the opportunity to be able to preach here this evening. And also thank you to Pastor as well for opening up his house to us on the 4th of July and just inviting people over. It was a great time of fellowship. And if you weren't there, you missed out on some good burgers and some good fellowship. But it was a good time there. And then for those who were able to go and watch fireworks, I hope you enjoyed your time watching those fireworks as well. We had a great time watching fireworks too. But there was a mist in the air, and man, it was there the whole night. And it would spray us about every 10 seconds, and it wouldn't go away. And we turned around, and it was Pastor. He had a squirt bottle, and so he thought he would be a blessing in disguise. Well, not in disguise, just a blessing in disguise. And he just started squirting us. And so my wife, she's like, okay, I'm going to get him back. Now, my sweet wife, I use discretion. Sweet wife, she said, I'm going to get him back. And I said, whoa, 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 whoa. I said, if you start this, this is your war. I have no hands in this. My hands are tied. And so she said, I'm going to get him back. And I said, well, whatever you start, you got to finish. Because if you don't, he will. And so my clever wife, she went and she got a cup of some sort. And she went over to a cooler and just scooped up a nice cold cup of icy water. And so pastors, you know, he's sharpshooting people or he's sniping people around. He's just getting each one. And my wife sneaks around gracefully and just comes up behind him, opens his shirt and just, and you know, when you get the cold ice down your back, you kind of do an awkward walk. You're like, oh, okay. He did it once. And then my wife's like, okay, that should take care of business. And then, sure enough, Pastor, she said, I'm going to do it again. I was like, okay, it's up to you. So once again, she pours it down his back, and this time it's, hey, ho, ho, ho. It's kind of all over, and then he continues doing it, and I said, man, you're going to have to end this war. I said, you might need to grab the cooler and just say, great job, coach, and just pour it on it. But she limited herself. She found restraint, and so says me, that's right. I don't know, she might give me a talking to afterwards and say it's not over, but who knows. But we were thankful for just that time of fellowship and fun, and I hope you guys all had a wonderful 4th of July or Independence Day as well. And Pastor was speaking about Brother Bryce earlier, and we were able to go out to lunch with the Gunters and Brother Bryce to Sticky Rice, everybody's favorite place to go. And when we went out to Sticky Rice, you know, you order your food and you tell them the heat level you want. Well, Brother Bryce had never been to Sticky Rice before. So I'm explaining it to him. I'm like, all right, you got these entrees, and then you pick one, and then they're going to ask you, what spice level do you want, ranging from 1 to 5? I said, 1 is, you know, it's 1. And I said, 5 is, well, there's going to be problems later. And so he's like, well, how hot is it? I was like, I don't know. You know, whoever's cooking, they might throw in an extra bit of hot sauce. And so my wife and I get the pineapple chicken fried rice. And Brother Bryce got something called the basil herb fried rice, which has jalapenos in it. And then he says, can I get a spice level 4? And I looked at him and I said, do you know what you're doing this evening? I said, do you know what you have on your plate? Not that plate, but you're preaching. And he's like, yeah, I know what I'm doing. And I said, well, I hope you do, because I don't want to be you. And so he ate it all, and I envy him slightly because he ate it and didn't even break a sweat. He's just sitting there eating it. And I got level 2, and I'm sitting there wiping my nose, chugging water. Like, I hope I can get through this thing all right. And he's over there just like, nothing happened. I said, how was it? He said, it was great. I was like, some people. But nonetheless, it was a great time of fellowship. And Bryce, he's been doing a great job. He's been trying to, he's been applying himself, and he's been learning and asking questions, and he's really growing, and so we appreciate it greatly. Does anyone here enjoy a good night of sleep? I mean, not just that okay night of sleep. I'm talking about a great night of sleep. That perfect 8 to 10 hours of uninterrupted rest. You know, when you've worked a long day at the office or at work, and you're like, man, I can't wait to get to bed. And it's just calling your name. You know, you get home from work and you maybe change clothes and the bed's just right there. Like angels made your bed that morning, perfectly folded, fluff pillow. And it's saying, come unto me. And you're like, I will be there. We all enjoy that type of sleep where you go to bed and you wake up the next day and you're refreshed. Amen. It feels good. Does anyone enjoy going to bed and knowing that when they go to bed, not only will they wake up refreshed, but it's also your day off? I mean, that's an even greater day because, you know, there's no limitation to how late you can sleep in unless you have a honey-do list or something. But regardless, we all look forward to that good night of sleep. We all look forward, like I said, to that perfect 8 to 10 hours of uninterrupted rest. And so in my study for this sermon, just as a way of illustration, I looked up, how does a person get that perfect uninterrupted rest? So if you're curious, I got a few suggestions off the internet. One of them, yeah, well, don't have babies is one of them. Another one is stick to a sleep schedule. Go to bed at the same time, wake up at the same time. Another recommendation they say to get a perfect night of sleep is to pay attention to what you eat and drink. Now, for me, I've realized if I have pizza, I might get 8 to 10 hours of uninterrupted sleep, but the dreams I have between, there's something else, man. They also say create a restful environment. You know, you want to go to bed in a restful environment, something soothing, calming. They also say to limit your daytime naps. Now, today is Sunday, and I got my nap in, so I think I'll be okay. But they say limit your daytime naps. They also say make sure you include a physical activity in your day throughout your day of some sort. And they also say to manage worry. One research, company or society did a research, and they said this, that adults should get about 7 hours of sleep per night. And that promotes optimal health. But if an adult gets less than 7 hours of sleep on a regular basis, the outcome can include weight gain, obesity, diabetes, hypertension, heart disease and stroke, and risk of death if you get less than 7 hours of sleep. And I did a little bit more study, and it said about 1/3 of Americans don't get 7 hours of sleep a night, and I would probably be in that group. But if sleep is so important, why don't we get enough of it? You know, if studies show and science proves that we need good sleep, why don't we get enough of it? Well, I continued to do some research, and this is what the internet told me gave me is why we don't get enough sleep. They said sleep apnea is a reason. Diet, lack of exercise, pain, restless leg syndrome, I had no clue what that was. The only thing I could think of is when I was at home with my parents, my dog would be sleeping, and she would start running in her sleep, and she was probably chasing the squirrel, but I think that's restless leg syndrome. They also say depression is a reason you can't sleep well at night. Poor sleeping habits or simply stress. Stress can keep a person up. And that's what the internet says, but this is what I came up with. Number one, newborn children. Now, I know Tyler's not here and Miss Gina's not here, but I know Miss Courtney's here and little Devin is, but you might not sleep well because of newborns. Right. Noah, are you sleeping good? He's kind of. Newborns, work. Work can keep us up. You might have to work a little bit more or a little later in the evening, and you might not sleep well. This one we can put on ourselves, late night TV show watching. Oh, just one more episode. After about one more episodes, it's 12:30 at night. Maybe you stay up to watch a movie. Or maybe you go to a sporting event and you stay up late doing that. Or maybe traveling. I know Miss Deakle's back and she was on the other side of the earth in the old country. And when you come back, sometimes the jet lag can kind of change things. So you're not sleeping well for the first week, but I assume you're sleeping well now. And good nap today. Amen. Other reasons you don't sleep well could be health problems, work problems, family problems. Life problems can keep us up at night. Ministry problems can keep a person up. I mean, we have this flood, and Pastor talked about he just couldn't sleep. He had things on his mind. But stress is one of the biggest ones. We all have stress in our lives. And there are many reasons, like I said, why people are restless, but one of them being stress. People don't sleep well because of stress, and stress is something that many struggle with, and with the demands of life, it can keep us up at night. And we can all have stress at different times in our lives, and sometimes we can't seem to find rest. I mean, it seems like you can never just calm down and be at peace. You might try listening to music or a breathing exercise of some sort, but that might only help temporarily. And there's only one true way to find rest that can relieve the stress. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter number 11. Matthew chapter number 11 is where we'll be this evening, and we'll be starting in verse number 25. Matthew chapter number 11 and verse number 25. And it says this, "And at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that are labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Amen. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Amen. Tonight we'll look at how to get the perfect night sleep. Let's pray. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I love you and I thank you for this day, and just want to come before you and ask, Father, that you would calm my nerves and just, Lord, give me clarity of thought and of speech, and just allow this to be a blessing to those that hear it, Lord, and just help the people to be drawn closer to you from it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. At this time in our passage in Matthew chapter number 11, I just want to give us some context on where Jesus is at. And if you were to begin reading at the beginning of Matthew chapter number 11, John is in prison, and he sends some messengers to go find Jesus because John has heard of what Jesus is doing. And so he sends some messengers, and these messengers come to Jesus, and they say this, "Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" And just to paraphrase, Jesus would explain to them that the Messiah has come, and that the people haven't noticed nor understood he has come yet. And as you would continue to read down into verses 20 through 24, Jesus addresses the unrepentant cities and those who will face the judgment of Christ. And I just want to ping this as a side note. If you were to look to Luke chapter number 10, you would read about how the 70 came to Jesus with joy. And after you read it, it sounds like the same narrative here, and some commentators say it's different, some say it's the same. But regardless, as you come to Matthew chapter number 11, verse 25, Jesus starts by thanking his Father. And he thanks him for the things revealed to some, but not to all. And Jesus starts at this time, like I said, and he replies, and he gives thanks to the Lord. And he acknowledges the Lord. He says, "Father, I give you thanks. O Father, Lord of heaven, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and the prudent." And the Lord acknowledges. He says, "Lord, thank you. Thank you for hiding these things from some people, but not others." And those things that Jesus is referring to are the things that he had talked about in the earlier in the chapter of Matthew chapter number 11. And they were those things that Paul would make mention of in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. What were those things? They were doctrine, truth. And they were the revelation of Christ, the return of Christ. And those are the things that Christ is thanking the Lord for. And he's saying, I thank you, Lord, that you have not revealed it to these people, but to these people. And who is Jesus referring to? He's talking to the wise and the prudent. Now, the wise and the prudent were those who thought highly of themselves. They thought that their education and what they've been taught had elevated them above the Scripture, the Bible. They thought they were better than everyone else. And they thought, well, I know more than the next guy. And Jesus is saying this, Lord, I thank you. You have hid those things from them. They won't understand it. They think too highly of themselves, and they're missing the point. But there's another group of people that Jesus talks about, and he talks about the babes. And we're not talking about little children. We're talking about those of a childlike faith, a simple understanding, those that understand simply. And Jesus is telling and thanking the Lord, and he says, Lord, I thank you that you've hid these things from the wise and the prudent, those who think highly of themselves, and you've made it simple enough for us to understand. Amen. The simple-minded. As I read a commentary, one Dr. Ironside said this, always put the cookies on the bottom shelf so the kiddos can get them. Amen. What did he mean by that? Well, J. Vernon McGee added a little extra to it. He said, if you preach so children understand what you're saying, you can almost be sure that the older folks will understand. Amen. But sometimes the children get it and the adults miss it. Sometimes, adults, we read a passage, and I found myself reading a passage and totally missing the point. I mean, I'm diving in, I'm studying God's Word, and I'm reading and thinking, well, it's this and it's this, and simply, it's not all that. It's just a simple truth. Amen. But us adults, can we just be honest that our teachings and what we've learned through the years, we sometimes elevate our thinking. Thinking that the Bible means more than it really does. We think it means this, wise and prudent, when really Jesus is saying, no, it's simple enough a child can understand. Amen. Jesus is drawing that conclusion to them, and he thanks the Lord for that. And I'm thankful that the Lord made things simple enough for us to understand as well. I'm thankful he made the gift of salvation easy enough for us to understand. I mean, John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. That's simple. Amen. You don't need a PhD to understand God died for you. Amen. And Jesus is saying, Lord, I'm thankful that it's simple. We don't have to go to a priest. We don't have to go to a scribe or a Pharisee to say, now what is this saying in the Bible? I'm glad that God makes his word clear and simple for us. And Jesus is saying the same thing. Lord, I thank you that your word is easy for us to understand. And Jesus also points out this, that it was right in the sight of God. He says, Lord, I thank you. And I agree with what you're doing, Lord. And Jesus said that it was good in the sight of God, like I said, and he's saying, Lord, what you're doing is right, and what God always does is right, and we should be in agreement with what he does. But not only does Jesus point out that, but as he continues on, he points out this, that only the Father knows the Son. And as Jesus says, Lord, I thank you for what you've done, I'm also thankful that you give all things unto the Son. Now the Son is Jesus, as we know. And God, as the Heavenly Father, knows his Son, and the Son knoweth the Father. And God gave the Son all power and all glory, and all things were given unto the Son. And John 3:35 would say this, the Father loveth the Son, and hath given all things into his hand. John 13:3, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he was come from God and went to God. Amen. The Son knew the Father, and the Father knows his Son. And the things that Jesus makes mention of all things, I had to do some study, and I listened to some other men preach this, and what I was able to conclude or find out that all things that Jesus is referring to is the knowledge of revelation. And Jesus is saying, Lord, the Father knoweth the Son. God is giving everything to His Son. The knowledge of revelation, that's what I was able to conclude or understand. But simply, no man knoweth the Son but the Father. And the only way to God is through the Son. Amen. When I read this, I thought, you know, how do I express this, or how do I illustrate this? And I thought of it this way. When a mother has a baby, babies cry, right? Yeah, babies cry. But for a guy, when I hear a baby cry, I think, okay, you know, the baby's crying. But to a mother who hears the baby cry, oh no. They can decipher the difference. I mean, they know when that baby's hungry. They know when that baby needs a diaper change, but you can usually use another sense to know by then. You know when the baby needs to be burped, put to sleep. And I remember in my own life, one of my older sisters had a child, and I hadn't seen this baby for 6 months. I mean, she lives in Florida. I was living here in Texas. I had never seen my nephew, but I was able to see him when I went to Colorado, and I was able to spend time with him, hang out with him, and she'd let me hold him, and I was sitting there holding him, and we were having a good time. But he would just start crying. And without even thinking, my sister would walk over and say, he needs to be fed. Let me see him. And I'm sitting there like, how did you know? And then, I'd be holding him a little bit longer, and after he'd be burped, he would start crying again. I was like, man, you were just fed, you were just burped. You should be good. My sister, oh, he needs to be turned around. He doesn't like what he's looking at. Excuse me. My sister knew her son. Mothers know their children. And fathers, you know your children's cry. But the Father knows His Son.
Amen.
And the Father knows you and what you need as well. And I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful that the Lord gives us what we need each and every day. Strength, reliance, nourishment, refreshment, comfort. He gives us confidence when we need it.
Amen.
He gives us peace. He gives us joy, love, sometimes understanding. Lord, I don't understand this. He gives us what we need. And I'm thankful for that.
Amen.
And Jesus explained to the people that all things had been delivered to Him by the Father. And like I said, no man, or like the scripture says, no man knoweth the Father except the Son. And no man knows who the Son is except the Father. And Jesus was implying or saying without saying, the Son is here. The Messiah is come. The people don't see it, but in time the Son would be revealed to those who don't know the Son. And when that time would come, the people would understand that the only way to the Father is through the Son. As John says John chapter 14, verse number 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In verse number 7, for if ye had known me, ye should know my Father also. And from henceforth ye shall know him and have seen him. And Jesus was explaining to the people that the only way to the Father is through the Son. Not only should they come to the Son because He's the only one who knows the Father, but Jesus also points out another reason why we should come to Him. And in verses number 28 through 30, Jesus starts by saying this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. Now, I'll be honest, when I studied this passage, it took me some time to understand why Jesus was saying come. I mean, he's talking about the Father knows him, he knows the Father, but then he says, come. And it's almost like, well, why would he say that? Well, simply, what Jesus said, come unto me, those that labor. You're fatigued, you're exhausted. You're heavy laden, you're loaded up, you're overburdened. All those who are labored and heavy laden could come to Jesus and he'd give them rest.
Amen.
Refreshment. Come. Those who are exhausted from the things of this world, come. Those who are exhausted from the things of life, come. Those who don't know who can make an ends meet, come. Those with a family situation who are exhausted from it, come. Those who are fatigued from the things going on in their life, come.
Amen.
Those who are exhausted from sin, come. Overwhelmed. Come, those who can't take another breath. Come, those who can't bear another moment. Come, those who are burdened with life. Jesus tells those to come unto him, and he'll give you rest.
Amen.
That's the best rest you could ever ask for.
Amen.
But when you come to Jesus, not only will you find rest, but he also says this, take up my yoke upon you. Now, when we come to Jesus, it's not a vacation. It's not time to put on your Hawaiian shirt and your flip-flops and kick back and relax. There are things required as we come to the Lord. And he says, take up my yoke upon you. Take up my servitude upon you. What are the things that are going to be required of us? The Great Commission. Tell others about the gospel. To love your brother, love your enemy, love your wife. Jesus says, come and take my yoke upon you. Come and be my disciple. Follow after me. And those that take up his yoke will be his disciple. Now during this time, like I said, the Savior makes mention of those who come unto him. Not only is he talking about the labored and the heavy laden, but there in the context, and what I was able to understand is this, there were probably some Jews among the crowd who were labored and heavy laden due to the fact that they were trying to uphold the Jewish laws and customs. And they were burdened down. They were being told, you must follow these laws. You must follow these rules. Jesus is saying, come. And now, if you would please, take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter number 3. In verse number 24, I'd like to just point something out. And like I said, that the Jews, they are weighed down and they are feeling burdened from the laws and the traditions of the elders. But by coming to Jesus, there would be a difference. And in Galatians chapter number 3, verse number 24, it says this, wherefore, the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by faith. Verse number 25. But after that, faith has come. We are no longer under a schoolmaster. Verse number 26. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. What's the difference? When you come to Jesus Christ, there's no need for the law. You don't have to work and do good to get into heaven. You can come to him. What a relief that would be for the Jews. Can you imagine trying to follow all the laws perfectly? One day I'll get it right the next day. You keep working and working and, man, I don't know if I can keep up with these laws. There's too many. Jesus says, come. Come unto me. Those who are exhausted from trying to follow these laws and traditions, I can give you rest. And when you take up my yoke, like I said, you will become as my disciple. But Jesus' yoke isn't heavy. It's not there to burden us down. It's light. The burdens of the Lord aren't heavy, they're light, like I said. The tasks and the service of the Lord aren't burdensome, they're light and they're easy to bear. The tasks that the Lord will give you and I are easy to bear. They're not heavy. And we must remember this. We don't carry His yoke by ourselves. Amen. He's there with us the whole time. And Jesus wants us to come to Him. Amen. To rely on Him, trust in Him. And Jesus wanted the people to come to Him because He is the only one who can bring true rest. Amen. And I know there's a lot of people in this church and in this congregation who are going some things in life right now. And I don't know the situation for everyone, but I'm sure you might be burdened down. You might have family situations, life situations, struggles, or simply work has got you labored down. You almost can't bear another day. But Jesus says, come unto Him. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever's bearing you down, you don't have to keep carrying it. Amen. In life, it's like we carry a backpack, and sometimes we put the burdens in our backpack, and it gets heavy. Jesus says, come. Let me take care of that for you. Come unto Him, and He'll give you rest. I love the words that were penned by Charles P. Jones. I don't know who knows of Charles P. Jones, and I tried to do some research, and I couldn't find very much. But I found the words he wrote to a song that are good. He says this, "Hear the blessed Savior calling the oppressed. O ye heavy laden, come to Him and rest. Come no longer tarry, He your load will bear. Bring Him every burden, bring Him every care. Amen. Come unto Me, or come unto Him, and He will give you rest. Take His yoke upon you, hear Him, learn of Him, and you'll be blessed. He is meek and lowly. Come, trust His might. Come, oh, will you come? His yoke is easy, and His burdens are light." Amen. So church, will you come to Him? Amen. And get rest? Let's pray. Amen. Dear God, gracious Heavenly Father, I thank for this day, and Lord, for those in the congregation here at New Heights. And Father, I don't know what's going on in everyone's life, but Father, You do, and You know the burdens and the struggles that people bear, Father. And Lord, would You help them to come unto You, get all the rest they need, and help them to rely on You. Be with us in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen.